Shall we pray?
Father, we want to bless you and thank you, O God, for the awesome reality, O God, of the Son alive in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. As you continue, O God, to bring forth to us, O God, the mystery of faith, we pray that we will come to understand how much, O God, you have given us in Jesus Christ. That what you have opened to us is open to us grace upon grace. And that is something, O Lord, we need to understand and appreciate. We need to bring it forth through our lives so that we can give true expression to the Son that you have given us, O God, as your gift, the ultimate gift of your heart, the gift that expresses, O God, who you are and all that you are, the gift that will unveil, enabling us to know you, enabling us to come into an intimacy with you, enabling us, O God, to do all things in you and by you and through you, to unfold, O God, the power that will flow from your heart in the greatness of your love, Father. So bless us, O God, as you continue, O Lord, to open to us the mystery of faith, Lord. We want to thank you, we want to bless you, that this is a mystery that is meant to be revealed in each one of us powerfully, Lord, because each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. And the intents of your heart are awesome, Father. In each one of us, Lord. We want to thank you. We want to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. I want to do another tape on the mystery of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Which reads, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Holding to the mystery of the faith. With a clear conscience. What is the faith? One faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Spirit. One faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Spirit. That's what unites us as the body of Christ. So what's the mystery of the faith? If you remember the teachings of the past, you will find that the mystery comes out of this word called hypostasis, which is a Greek word, applied in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that whole verse is a mystery. It is what is called the mystery of faith. The word for substance there is the Greek word hypostasis. And the mystery is revealed in that substance. The mystery is revealed in that substance. And that substance is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It will be of the fullness of Jesus Christ if we set our hope on Jesus Christ. No matter what you do in your Christian faith, if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance will be of him. This is the mystery of the faith that we can have in God. This is the mystery that enables us to have the faith of God. You remember where that came from? Mark. Mark chapter 11. Let's look at that. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. But if you go back to the literal translation of that verse, it reads, have faith of God. Or have the faith of God. That is the literal translation for Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So have the faith of God. So how do we have the faith of God? The faith of God is given to us through the substance that is of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Have the faith of God, because the next verse tells us that that faith will enable us to move mountains. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Right? Without doubt. Without doubt. How does this word without doubt come into us? It comes out of the heart of Jesus. It is out of the heart of Jesus, and it's manifested in us in the substance. So if you keep your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the rock of revelation for the church. In the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, the Church of Jesus Christ will be built. And that rock will become a reality of an unshakable confidence within us that will know no doubt. And God is in the process of bringing that forth. Now this is why Jesus Christ is called in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 as the author and the finisher of our faith. What is he authoring and finishing our faith with? His faith. What is his faith? The faith of God given to us so that we can have the faith of God, so that the church can move into realities of moving mountains. Can you see that? And that's what God is trying to do in our lives. That's what Jesus Christ has been charged with as the mediator of the new covenant in our hearts. This is why he is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Because what he is building inside of us is a reality that is fashioned out of the faith of God. God wants us to function in his faith. It is the faith of God that sees what is not and calls it forth. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Here we have a glimpse of what is the faith of God. The second half of verse 17. From the King James Bible, or the New King James Bible rather. It reads, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is an attribute of God. That is the faith of God, to call forth those things which do not exist as though they did. Let's look at this faith of God for a short while. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and see something that God did right at the beginning. Right, we're all familiar with this passage of scripture. It is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's a living expression of God's faith. And the fact that we have light, both spiritual and natural light, is an outcome of that faith. The faith of God is operating and we exist in that faith. Can you see that? Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now why was the light good? Because God is good. Right? So the light that came forth was good because it expressed that which was of God. And it's good. Now this is how we discern whether we are functioning by the faith that is in line with the faith of God. If what we do is good. If what we are expressing our faith into is good. If what we are bringing forth is consistent with the nature and character of God. How do we know the nature and character of God? When you look at the cross, you know the nature and character of God. And we are called to do all things in the nature and character of the God who has given himself to us by sacrifice. And that is something we are called to develop. And we develop it through the substance that comes out of faith. Where does faith come from? It comes out of hope. How does the substance of hope express Jesus Christ? If you set your hope on Jesus Christ. If you set your hope on becoming like Jesus Christ. Of receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you set your hope on Jesus so that God will manifest in you the character and nature of Jesus, the witness and testimony of Jesus, then the substance of what is formed inside of you will be of him. And that substance will stand in line with the faith of God. And in a derivative sense, in a dependent sense, you now have the faith of God. When did you first experience the faith of God? When the seed of Christ was planted inside of you and you were born again, that was your first experience of the faith of God. And did it do something for you? Yes, it did. Did it bring change into you? Yes, it did. Whose power did it manifest? It manifested the power of God. It manifested inside of you what God could do with you. And all of the Christian faith, all of the Christian life is based on realizing this faith. And this faith, when you realize it as an evidence within you, is what will enable you then to appreciate the love of God and enable you to come to love God. Because the substance that is going to be formed inside of you is an evidence of God's righteousness perfected in you. God has done a work in you that you could never do in yourself. Can you see that? That's what the mystery of faith is designed to bring forth. The mystery of faith stands at the heart of everything that God wants to build into your life. But it's so important that this mystery be unveiled in Jesus Christ. It is through the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gives expression to his faith. It's very important to understand this, because there was once an angel who also had great faith. And his life and his testimony is an expression of faith that went wrong. Faith that was turned into a reality that is called Antichrist. It represents everything that stands against the knowledge of God. And the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel warn us that there also exists this faith that comes out of the mystery of lawlessness. That if we do not learn as a church how to build things in the name of Jesus, then we will move into lawlessness at the speed of thought, just like Lucifer did. So if you turn to Isaiah chapter 14, you will begin to understand why God says in verse 12, the first line, how you have fallen from heaven. How you have fallen. How you have turned what was good into something that is a disaster. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. Now those are terms, prophetic terms, that represent the faith that God gave him. The substance of that faith manifested within this angel made him shine like a morning star and made him become the precursor of good things that God wanted to bring forth. But you see, this person said in his heart, verse 13, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. You see, he turned the focus of realizing something from God into something that he could realize in and of himself. Can you see this? Can you see that? He turned what was meant to be something that derives from God into something that was entirely of himself. And he said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will be number one. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. It was always God's intent to make us in his image. But here was someone who wanted to make himself God. Faith gone wrong. Faith based on the wrong substance. And the reason why the wrong substance manifested was simply because he chose to do something that stood against the reality of God. Now this is why Jesus says, before you can have faith to move mountains, you must understand that that faith has to be the faith of God. It must be consistent with the character and nature of God. If it's not, it will be disastrous. So today, as we start from low beginnings, it is so important to build things in the right faith, in the faith that is of the substance of Jesus Christ, and not the faith that is generated from self, his image and in his fullness of faith. The Bible tells us, you have a measure of faith, I have a measure of faith. The non-Christian walking on the street has a measure of faith. And we all choose to express that faith into something. In the Christian faith, God opens to you a reality where he wants you to understand that for faith to grow the way it is meant to grow, God must become the author and finisher of that faith. God must become the apostle and high priest of your confession, because you release faith in what you say. Right? Even as God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. So it's very important for you and I to flow in line with what is in God's heart. That's why we have this Bible. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. What is this faith that cometh by hearing the rhema of God? It's the faith of God. How is the faith of God given to you? It is given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it given to you? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of man was configured in line with the faith of God, with the will of God, with the purpose of God. Where was it configured in line with the will of God and with the purpose of God? When Jesus Christ went to the cross. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he brought his faith in line with God's will and God's purpose. He brought it in line, right, with the nature and character of the Lord his God. And so God raised him from the dead and invested in him, in the name Jesus, resurrection power. And the purpose of true faith is to realize this resurrection power that will bring forth a new man, bring forth a new race of men who are going to be able to function by God and not by their foolish ways. So as God begins to move in our lives, as God begins to open so many things into our lives, we need to understand that they have to be brought in line with what God has for us. The faith that moves mountains has to be a faith that is in line with God's will. Or the faith that moves mountains will go the way it went in Lucifer's life. It became a destructive faith. It became a faith that destroyed nations. It became a faith that has cost billions of human lives. It is a faith that destroyed the destiny of millions and millions and millions of angels who stood in heavenly places with tremendous promises resting over their lives. All that was ruined because one angel decided that he was God, decided to misuse faith. So in the Christian church too, we have found ministries and ministers fall because we have misused faith. We have turned faith around and made it self-denominated. What I confess, I will get. That is wrong. That is at best a half-truth. What you confess that is an exact line with what God wants to do, that you will have for sure. But what you confess, which is not in line with God's word, even if you have it, you will lose it. And you will probably lose your life with it too. So it is so important for us to understand that this faith needs to be a faith that is in line with what God has ordained for the human race. God's will is life to us. If we transgress God's will, we will die. If we do our own thing, we will die. It is the experience of the human race that is so. So one of the things you must understand about true faith, if that faith in you is being built the right way, you will always find that the faith that is true will always be in line with God's law. The fulfillment of God's law. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 31. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. We establish the law in fulfilled terms, through faith. Right? So, the law, true faith, will always be in line with God's laws. What does that mean? It means that it will love God, it will love its fellow man, it will not be selfish, it will not be self-centered, it will not be idolatrous. It will not be self-seeking. It will be in line with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It will be love expressed. It will be joyful. It will be peaceful. It will be kind. It will be good. It will have self-control. It will not seek its own. Can you see that? Now, why is the law fulfilled? Very simple, because the substance is of Jesus Christ, and the substance of Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. So in verse 21, Paul writes, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested." Has been manifested how? Through faith. Whose faith? The faith of God. The faith of God manifested how? Through Jesus Christ. In what way? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. How is it being witnessed by the law and the prophets? In fulfilled terms. Through Jesus Christ, the law has been fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. How? Through the faith that comes in the name of Jesus. Through the faith that unveils because of Him. Through the faith that brings out the substance of Him into us. Can you see that? And to realize that, you simply have to set your hope on Jesus Christ all the time. Praise the Lord. It's a very simple process, actually, because the entire process is engineered by the faith of God. How does hope manifest substance? That is of Jesus Christ, by the faith of God. Because God's faith says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's faith is that Jesus' fullness will fill all in all. God's faith is that He will reconcile all things in heaven and on earth through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith will automatically be of Jesus Christ. You're not practicing the law, you are realizing the fulfillment of the law by simply choosing to exalt the name of Jesus. Simply choosing to express your life in the character and nature of Jesus. Simply choosing, right, to do what is right before God. Can you see that? Yeah? I want you to understand that this is not propagating a new practice of the law, and it's not. It is by faith. Right? Faith. And as we grow, God is building within us a living expression of this faith. As you learn how to minister, as you learn how to lead people to Jesus Christ, as you learn how to express your life the right way, God is building inside of you the faith of Jesus. And you find that the changes that happen inside of you are of the faith of Jesus. There are changes that are being manifested inside of you that is of the power of God. God is bringing forth a supernatural change within you. And that faith will make you sons of God. That faith will make you saints of the Most High God. That faith will make you kings who will reign as servant kings, in line with the character and nature of Jesus Christ. You see, Lucifer was created to be king, but he was no servant king. He wanted to lord it over people. So God sent His Son in order to establish a faith that will unfold a character that will be willing to hold authority while serving people. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us, right? By washing us in His own blood. By washing us with the water of renewal and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. That water of His Rhema word. Are you listening? And as we listen to that word, as we listen to what God has given us in Jesus Christ, through that word comes the faith that will be perfected and completed in us and will enable us to become what we are not in and of ourselves. So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. How does Christ strengthen us in substance and in witness? Listening? That witness is the faith that God is creating within us. Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of this faith. How does God reward you? He rewards you by manifesting the faith of God through Jesus Christ into you, so that you can function and move mountains. That is your destiny. Obviously, as you stand right now, you know nothing about all of these things. They are a mystery. That's why it's called the mystery of the faith. Not just the mystery of faith, it is the mystery of the faith. The faith that God configured in Jesus Christ. Right? God made his faith communicable through the faith of Jesus Christ. And that faith of Jesus Christ is meant to be fashioned and formed inside of us. And Jesus is the author and finisher of that faith. And that faith is what God wants to develop within us. That faith will move mountains. So you see what the faith of Jesus did in his ministry. That's the faith God wants to develop within you and me. The perfect faith. The unshakable faith. The faith that has a total confidence in God. The faith that is able to align with what God has said in his word and is able to see what is not and bring it forth into being. Because God's ordained it. Hello? You are a son unto God. How is that reality going to come forth? As you focus on what is not to bring forth, right? As you focus on what God has said in his word that is not yet in being and you bring it forth from non-existence into existence in your own being. Can you see that? How? By fixing your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. By setting your hope on him. You set your hope on Jesus and the author and finisher of your faith will manifest his faith and work it into your life. Right? Every time you speak, what is God interested in doing? Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confession. Right? What do you think he's doing? He's reinforcing what you confess in truth. Right? And he's also interceding for the confession that is not in truth too. Yeah. So the Bible says that Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. What is he interceding for us? For all those things that we say in denial of him. And so you see that the battle is over faith. Huh? That spiritual warfare is being fought over your faith. Over the quality of your faith. Because the quality of your faith is what is going to make you stand in the position that God has for you. So watch over what comes out of your mouth. So what does the word of God say under the law? The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Correct? So why is it in your mouth and in your heart? Because your mouth is going to speak what is in your heart. And what you see come out of your mouth is going to stand as a reinforcement of God's word or a denial of God's word. God's word is a person. It is not merely a book. It is a person. God's word is a person who gave himself for you so that you will have a perfect faith. So that everything that comes out of your mouth one day, everything that is in your heart will be of the word of God. That is what God has undertaken to engineer within you and me. That's what the mystery of faith. The mystery of the faith is designed to reveal in you. Praise the Lord. Have the faith of God and you can move mountains. Let's look at Romans chapter 3 verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith. In the Old King James Bible it says faith of Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction. The righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ. God is doing something inside of you. And he wants to bring it forth inside of you so that you will be able to do what is no longer lawless. Can you see that? So get your basics right. Get your basics in line with what God has intentioned by giving you his only begotten son. How will sons of God behave? How will sons of God do things? Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we blow it up. But that's not what the problem is. The problem is when we take our eyes off Jesus and we focus on other things. And that's when we lose the way. The way is Jesus Christ. Take your eyes off him and the way is lost. The truth is Jesus Christ. Take your eyes off the truth and you will end up being imprisoned in your sinfulness. Focus your eyes on Jesus and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the life. If you live Jesus, you will have the new life. If you don't live Jesus, you will end up experiencing the life that is of the flesh, the life that decays, the life that loses everything. Do you know that the people of the law, like Moses, had their faculties intact while they died? They did not die because of disease. They died because, what? God called them home. Moses didn't die because his eyesight was failing and his kidneys were failing and his joints were failing. Moses died because God said, it's time for you to come back home. Are you with me? So the people who were under the law experience a foreshadowing. And we are called to realize the reality of living the life that God wants to give us in His own faith for us. So when you enter into baptism, why are you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because you are being baptized by the faith of God for you. Hello. You are being baptized by the faith of God for you. Right? Hello. That's what he is saying. That if you get into the waters of my voice, I will bring you forth in my power of my resurrection as a saint, as a new creation. Our response is to declare to God that we will present ourselves to him. That we will not present the members of our body to sin. Does it mean that we are sinless? No, it just means that we respond to God's faith. And God will bring the reality of perfection into our being. Can you see that? That's how we have changed. Not because of our efforts. The fact that you pray is because you have realized something of God inside of you that enables you to pray. That something of God was engineered in Jesus Christ for you. Right? Every time you get a breakthrough in your Christian life, you have realized something of the faith of God that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. And a change has been manifested. Some of those changes took years to come. But the change is real. But once the change comes, the old man is gone. The old realities that troubled you are gone. The weakness has been defeated. Once and for all, a newness of life has been brought forth. And you have a new destiny ahead of you. Something of the faith of Jesus Christ has been brought into a functional reality within you. The faith of God has enabled you to pray. And as you continue to pray, the faith of God will enable you to pray more and more. But how will you pray more and more? Only if you commune with God and realize the beauty of God and realize the wonder of His presence. Are you with me? So the faith of God, right, declares that man will be able to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. God sent Jesus Christ to bring that faith reality into a love that is the basis of our salvation. Can you see that? And so what is in Jesus Christ? God's faith is expressing into our lives. The Holy Spirit is sent to give us whom? Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? That all that the Father has belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father has is part and parcel of the testimony of Jesus. John 16 verse 15. And the Holy Spirit is charged with unveiling it. In whom? In you and me. Why? Because of the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received grace upon grace, not merit upon merit. So when we minister in the church, we must minister this grace. We must minister in this reality of the faith of God and not bring people into a religious form, which keeps on putting the onus on man's efforts rather than realizing what God has given us. Have the faith of God. It is only through the faith of God that you and I are called sons of God. Whose idea is it to call you and me sons of God? God's idea. Whose idea is it to call you and me kings in whose rising, nations are meant to walk. It's God's idea. Whose idea is it to have a new Jerusalem? God's idea. In Revelation 21, it says that the bride will have the glory of God. Now, whose idea is that? That the bride of the Lamb will have the glory of God. That is God's idea. That's not man's idea. John saw the vision. How did he see the vision? He entered into the faith of God and he saw what God saw. Yeah? Are you with me? The whole book of Revelation is about God's faith. God's faith expressed in judgment, God's faith expressed in blessing. John sees it and he reports what he sees. And what he sees, God says, I will manifest. So we are here, called to be the bride of the Lamb. And we must become a bride for the Lamb. Who is going to make us a bride for the Lamb? God is going to make us a bride for the Lamb, but we must want to be a bride for the Lamb. That is our part of the covenant. God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, it is my will that you are a possession for myself. I've called you to be a holy nation of priests unto me. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 7. And Moses takes those, hears those words, he brings those words to the elders of Israel, and they say, yes, we will do it. And Moses takes those words and he goes back to God and he says, these are the words your people have spoken. What did the people say? We respond to it. Were they able to respond to it in reality? No. So what does God do in order to make those words come alive? He sends his son in order to make those words performable. Through whose faith? By his own faith. How? Configured in the reality of a new man, the true man, Jesus Christ. Amen? And in the Holy Communion passage we say that the whole Passover is simply dependent on us remembering Jesus Christ. Remembering him and activating what? The faith that has been expressed by Jesus going to the cross for us. Amen? Can you see that? Huh? And by the simple means of just remembering Jesus Christ, his faith is activated in our life and it's able to produce things inside of us that are amazing. It is part of the mystery of faith. And all of us sitting here have experienced changes in our lives because of the faith of Jesus Christ, because of the love of Jesus Christ, because of the nature and character of Jesus Christ, that his faith is working into us by the Holy Spirit. Can you see this? So the mystery of faith is an awesome reality. So in the mystery of faith, we can be all that God wants us to be. But for us to realize this mystery of faith, we must keep out of lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Proclaiming ourselves as little gods. Proclaiming ourselves as being in charge of our destinies. Pretending that we are something in and of ourselves. That is what has to die. So we must die and Jesus has to live. And if Jesus lives, we will become sons of God. If we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we will be saved. Everything that God has by his faith ordained in salvation will manifest to us. Nobody can stop it. Praise the Lord. We have the mind of Christ. Are you willing to go after it? Immediately the picture comes into our mind, how many hours do I have to pray? But that's not what it's all about. It's about how you will learn how to pray. In whose strength will you learn how to pray? That is what is the concentration. Right? We look at the word saint and you say, oh my goodness, how many things have to change inside of me? Oh my goodness, I can't do it. That's not what it's all about. It's about whether you're willing to look at God and say, Lord, you can take the nature of Jesus and you can engineer it inside of me and make me a saint. That is what is at stake. Amen? So the entire scripture is engineered on the basis of the faith of God. This book has to be studied and understood because it contains God's faith. Right? So God said, Abraham, I will use you to bless the nations. Whose faith was that? That was God's faith. You think that was Abraham's faith? Abraham hadn't a blooming clue of how that was going to happen.
He didn't even have a clue of where he was going. Yeah? But God allowed him to be regarded as the father of faith. Why? Because God said he will be the father of faith. That's all. Yeah? Was it because Abraham was a perfect man? No. But because God saw Abraham through the blood of Jesus Christ. The faith of God saw that and he said, this is going to be the father of faith. From him will come nations that will worship me. Amen? Was it because Abraham was a wonderful guy, agreed about all his life? You know, you will find perfect faith there. No, it was not. Yeah? Praise the Lord. God's faith. So when you are brought into the church of Jesus Christ, by whose faith are you going to live? Whose faith are you going to respond to? The Bible says you are blessed. Many of us choose to be cursed. The Bible says our family should be blessed from generation to generation. Watch us what we say to each other in our families. What are we responding to? We are responding to the devil rather than responding to God. No matter what is happening, you have to respond to God. We must choose to respond to God. Even when things seem to fall apart, you have to respond to God, because his plan of salvation is able to work through everything that is going wrong in the world that we live in. Praise the Lord. Don't let the darkness of the world permeate your family life. There is always a new beginning. Can you see that new beginning? If you can't, take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you can see a new beginning. You can engineer a new beginning. Nothing is impossible with you. So work this. Praise the Lord. So there are some of us, if we had seen each other 20 years ago, we wouldn't have touched each other. Because there was so much of wickedness flowing in our lives. Today God is using us as instruments. How the dickens did it come forth? If you had met us 20 years ago, right? Some of us being assistants to gurus of all kinds, you know. I mean, you would never have thought that that bloke would have ever been used as a man of God. Right? Some of us drunk in a bar, not knowing whether we were coming or going. Right? Today standing as pastors and pastoring churches. I mean, where was the solution? The solution was in the faith of God all along. Yeah? And that's what God is telling us to exercise. Right? Where there seems to be no way, the guy is a bum. Right? There's nothing worthwhile in his life. What is there to see? God says there is something you can see. Praise the Lord. So nothing is impossible with God. So it is not easy to see. Sometimes we may not even want to see. It's so much easier to just get rid of the bloke. I don't want to know him. Right? He's a brother I don't want to know anymore. He's more trouble than anything else. But God is saying, are you willing to look at me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's faith says, I'm willing to work in every man's life on planet Earth. Man's response is, no, I don't want such kind of people to be sitting with me in church. This man who belittles me and abuses me, I don't want him to be part of my married life. This woman who has betrayed me so many times, I don't want her to be part of my life. Be gone. Two sons, right? The son who fell away. But the son who fell away was the one who came to realize the father's heart, isn't it? The son who stood there and played the religious game, he never appreciated who his father was. He didn't know him from a bar of soap, isn't it? That's the tragedy, right? He played all the religious games and he did not understand what his father was all about. Sad. So when his brother came back, he had no heart to celebrate his brother's return. There was no love in his heart, because he had never bothered to find out what made his father tick. There's so many of us in church who still do not know who our God is. Our responses to each other or anything that are off but what God is all about. Can God engineer change? Yes, He can. Even after periods of separation, God can engineer change. Yes, He can. But do you want it? So the faith of God, an awesome mystery, it has to be revealed. And as the mystery of faith, of the faith is revealed in us, we are transformed. We are transfigured. We become sons of God. We become people who have the mind of Christ. An awesome work is being accomplished in our lives. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What is God saying with that? It's not the successful of the world that are going to inherit God's grace. It's the poor. Why the poor? Because they know they have nothing. Or they should know they don't have anything. Praise the Lord. But God is not talking about material wealth. He's talking about whether we recognize spiritual poverty. The one who knows that he is spiritually poor is the one who will realize the abundance of God. Praise the Lord. The mystery of faith. Verse 22 and 23. Let's read Romans chapter 3 again. Verse 21, 22 and 23. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. How? Through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, which Jesus Christ has brought into a position of fulfillment. How? By his own faith. Even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now what does that redemption represent? The faith of God. Amen? Whose idea is redemption? God's idea. Whose idea is grace? God's idea. Right? Why is there something called grace? Very simply, because there is something called God's faith. And when we enter into God's faith, we enter into it by grace. Right? We choose to respond to God. Abraham chose to respond to God. David was a man after God's heart. What was his quality? His quality was that he responded to God. Even when he was wrong, he realized something and he responded to God. Why do we so often have failures in our life? Because we respond to the failure. We respond to the problem. We meditate on the problem. We meditate on the situations and the circumstances. And there is no salvation in the situations and circumstances. There is only salvation in the faith of God for you. So my wife does not pray. My son does not pray. My son doesn't want anything to do with the Christian faith. So what do? You turn to the faith of God and you declare that faith before God and you said, Father, you said that God so loved the world. There were no exceptions to the gift of Jesus Christ. Oh God, what I can't see, you can see. What I can't do, you can do. You can call forth that which does not exist into existence. Change. Change my son, change my wife, transform them. Bring them forth in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So Hannah cried for a baby. And she offered that baby back to God. And she brought out the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Awesome. Amen. So God has given us Jesus Christ, and through the faith of Jesus Christ, all things are possible. In the testimony of Jesus, we see that the blind can see, the lame can walk, legions of demons can be cast out in one word, go. Storms can be stopped, we can walk on water, water can become wine, the dead can be risen at the spur of a moment. What are we looking at? What are we looking at? We are so engrossed with what the devil churns around us. And we're not looking at what God is able to do. Jesus Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And the church does not know where that authority is. The church does not believe. We do not believe. But that authority was given because it was God's faith to give that authority in Jesus Christ. That authority has been given to us to receive, to realize, and to express. Praise the Lord. So as you pray in tongues, God says you can realize the mysteries of God. What you cannot see, you can draw from God. Hello. The Bible was written as prophets saw what God was willing to bring forth, right? Hello. Was it their own idea? No. What did they do? They turned to God. Were they perfect people? They were not. God enabled them to see what His will was. They wrote that down and it became the Word of God. Now this Word of God stands by the faith of God. It does not stand by the faith of the church. So if this stands by the Word of God, you and I can realize this Word through the faith of God. And it can be fashioned and formed in our heart. We can have the faith of God and we can move mountains. Praise the Lord. That's our destiny. Amen. But that will only happen if what is in our hearts is in line with what God wants to accomplish. So often we pray what we want to accomplish. That's also part of the faith that we exercise. So often we want God to perform our will. So often we think that what we conceive of is better than what God conceives of. I have a better plan for my children's lives than you can have, God. Let me tell you what I want to see in my children's life. And so often we bring out children in our own image rather than bringing them forth in the image of God. What a silly failure. But God is teaching us lessons, isn't it? Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for this awesome reality of the mystery of the faith. And we pray, Lord, that as you have planned to bring forth the fulfillment of the law and the prophets through this faith into our lives, enable us to understand, Lord, that there is an awesome reality, O God, that is available to each and every one of us. This word is written, O God, with your faith. This word is your idea. It carries your ideas, your thoughts. When we read this word, enable us to distinguish between the words of men and the words of God that are written in this book, Lord. That we may see things in the faith of our God. That we may understand, Lord, that if we believe you, Lord, there's a whole new universe open to us at the speed of thought. Teach us to exercise that reality. Using tongues, O God. So that we can cross the barriers, O God, of our mind, O Lord. The hindrances of our mind. so that we can realize that which is hidden as a revelation in our hearts. Bless the church, Lord, that we may realize, O God, that faith of God that will enable us to become sons of God. Because there is a plan in your faith for each one of us. That's why the psalmist writes that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. That is a living expression of your faith over each one of our lives. So move us, O God, to realize what you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we partake of Holy Communion, Jesus tells us that this Passover is what he is going to suffer for. Why is he suffering? He's suffering in order to give communication to God's faith through his life. He's becoming a conduit for God's faith. That's why Jesus declares himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And in the faith of God, we can become all that God wants us to become. Our response is to want what God wants us to become. Jesus says, remember me. What do you remember of Jesus Christ? His faith, his love, his witness, his testimony, his character, his nature. All that God has made available to us through his word. Verse 17, how do we perfect this faith? Jesus says, take this and share it among yourselves. Take the cup and share it amongst yourselves. Because that cup is the cup of my faith for you. It's the cup of my love for you. And take that cup and share it amongst yourselves. What you have realized of me, give freely to others, because freely you have received, therefore freely give. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Praise the Lord. By whose faith does the kingdom of God exist? By the faith of God. But where is the kingdom of God meant to be manifested? Luke chapter 17 verse 20-21 says that the kingdom of God is to be manifested within us. So where is the faith of God to be brought to life in? In each one of us. There is a realm of God's faith that is meant to be built and developed in each one of our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Now that's why we are justified by faith. By whose faith? By the faith of God for each one of us. When our faith falls in line with God's faith over our lives, things will move. Mountains will be removed. Mountains of impossibility will be removed. So what is impossible in your life, brother? Where are you looking? Are you looking at yourself and saying, oh my goodness, I must pray more? Or are you looking at God to make you pray more? Are you looking for that substance of prayer that comes to you out of the heart of Jesus? Or are you looking for something that you're going to engineer out of yourself? If it's going to be engineered out of you, good luck to you. But if it's something that is the completed work of God, it's there. You know, Colossians chapter 2:10 says that you and I are completed in Christ. We are made complete in Christ. What is that? The faith of God. In the faith of God, you and I are already complete. Yeah? So when God says, I have called you to be a prophet, that is already in there in God's heart. You have to just realize that from the heart of God. Use tongues to realize that. Why do you keep using this silly mind and getting caught up with all the cross flows of thoughts that go into this silly box that boxes you up and says that you are a chicken and the only thing you can find is a worm? Huh? This box that refuses to fly and say that you can be an eagle. And you can look at things from the heavenlies. Huh? Why do we function with this stupid box? You know, in the management world, we are talking about thinking out of the box. In the church, We are in the box and we want to be buried in the blooming box. Worst thing, we want to box God inside that box as well. So we keep celebrating Holy Communion, remember me, and we think Jesus is like me, poor man. So when we come to Good Friday, we sit down and we cry. But he is no longer on the cross. He is at the right hand of the Father on high. Every principality, power, might and dominion is subject to him. And we still cry for him instead of crying for ourselves, because the really pathetic sight in the world today is the church struggling to find its way around. That is a sorry sight. Sons of God who do not know whether they are coming or they are going. Sons of God who worship their denominations more than they worship God. Sons of God who do not know the difference between right and wrong, between truth and falsehood. That is the tragedy. Sons of God who do not even know that they are blessed. That is the tragedy. So today, as we partake of Holy Communion, are we sons of God or are we not? If you're not sons of God, you're not allowed to partake of Holy Communion. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. If you're not prepared to become sons of God, you're not allowed to partake of Holy Communion, because that is a denial of Jesus Christ. If you're not willing to bring up your children as sons of God, you're not allowed to partake of Holy Communion. Fair enough statement. Hello. Luke 22. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. What were they with him for? Was it because they deserved to be with him? No, because he wanted them to be with him. So why are we sons of God? Because God wants us to be sons of God. On what basis are we going to become sons of God? On the basis of what God has faith for in each one of our lives. That's what this Passover is all about. To take us out of this world that we live in and put us in the positions that God has for us. How? By the faith of God. Do you know how to sit in the heavenly places? Do you know how you will shine with such glory that nations will walk in the light of your rising? Do you know anything about that? You don't. So whose idea is that? That's God's idea. Why is that going to happen? Because it is expressed in God's faith over your life. So if some of you have been called to be apostles of the Lord, why is that going to happen? Because you are more spiritual than the rest around you? No, because God has called you, that's all. Are you willing to give him the time so that he can fashion and form your inward parts so that you will have something to share with people that will build the body of Christ? If you are a prophet in the making, are you willing to spend that time with God? Otherwise, what are you going to prophesy? How are you going to prophesy if you don't know God from a bar of soap? So as we partake of Holy Communion, what has God called you to be? Celebrating this communion is answering God's call too. Praise the Lord. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus' faith was put to test. God's faith was put to test on the cross. For whom? For you and for me. Knowing God's faith and knowing his destiny, Jesus Christ says, with fervent desire, I have desired. God proved this fervent desire by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. So, as we partake of this Holy Communion, in whose desire are we partaking of this Holy Communion? In the desire of him who gave himself for us. So what has happened to Jesus' desire in your life, brother? Why is it you can't forgive your wife? Why is it you can't humble yourself and say, Lord, I have sinned against you? Why is it you find it so hard to see your husband and say, I have done something wrong? Why is it you can't go walk across and see your brother and say, forgive me for what I did to you? Or go to him and say, I forgive you for what you did to me, for what you stole from me. Can we do it? Yes, we can do it. If you are willing to allow his fervent desire to flow into your heart. If you don't know how to do it, ask it and pray it in tongues, and God will manifest it over time. Yeah. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Amen. See, for a long time, the Church of Jesus Christ has been partaking of Holy Communion as a sacrament that has been doctrinally defined by the different denominations of Christianity. The Church has never understood that this Passover is entirely of the faith of God. It's got nothing to do with the intelligence of man or how well we can expound scriptures. It is something entirely supernatural. It is of the faith of God. And if the Church had been partaking of this Passover in the faith of God, we won't be where we are today. That the world is laughing at us. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. What does that cup contain? The witness of his fervent desire that you and I have come to receive and realize. And we are called to share it. Now, if you and I had a measure of that fervent desire that Jesus carried in his heart, the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, the dead will arise, and those who are held in the deepest dungeons of darkness will be released by every one of us sitting here, and all of our brethren across the world. That's why Jesus took bread and he broke it and he multiplied it. Why did he say, I am not stuck with one piece of bread. I can multiply it and make it enough bread to feed as many people as I choose to feed. And there were 12 baskets left. What do those 12 baskets represent? The Church of Jesus Christ. Take this and share it among yourselves. So much to share. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God has arrived in your heart by the faith of God for you. The seed of Christ is the faith of God for your life. Will you allow it to grow into the tree of life? So that, as Revelation 22 says, that one day the nations will eat of the leaves of this tree and they will be healed. Praise the Lord. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. This is my body which is given for you. His body is a living tabernacle of his fullness that we are called to express in remembrance through our lives. You and I are tabernacles of the living God. Constructs of the faith of God. We will be all that God wants us to be. Move into it. Yes, we have weaknesses. But what is this weakness that God cannot handle? So you are afraid of pain. So you are afraid of difficulties. Can't God work through all of those things? But we see the pain and we don't want to go forth. We see the crowd and we say, I can't speak in front of a crowd, and we sit there. If God can make a donkey speak, how much more can he do with us? The sons of the prophet lose an axe, and Elisha, seeing a vision of the Lord, just goes out, breaks a twig, he throws the twig sinks and the axe comes up. Now, if God can do things like that, what is it that he can't do with you and me? We are partaking of Holy Communion, brethren. What do we remember of our God? Right? We've got a problem with our lungs. What do we focus on? What the blooming doctor says. The doctor said this, and the doctor said that, and the doctor said the other. When are we going to understand that the battle is the Lord's? Yeah? So family members around are also looking at the doctor. The poor person is sick, and everybody around is talking about, oh my goodness, the doctor said this, oh, this is impossible to cure. Is that what you speak? Hello, you want to fight the battle of life? You better talk about life, not about death. Hello? The life is there. Jesus says, I am the life. What do we focus on? So we are lazy to do exercise. So where do we look at? We look at God. And we ask Him to enable us to do it. Slowly but surely it will come. But there's a fundamental thing that we must understand. We have to ask God to make us want to do it. Discipline our eating habits. Same process. And these battles can be won. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not out of things that we do that we have joy. Joy comes out of the Spirit of God. Joy comes out of the nature and character of God. Enjoyment of life comes out of God, not by things we possess or things we have or a new job. So we have to fight. So today, as we partake of communion, let's partake of all of those things God has given us: healing, strength, renewal, regeneration, hope, faith, love, holiness, eternal life, promises beyond our intelligence, anointings beyond our conception. So much. And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. God's faith is sealed in blood over your life. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you for the faith of our God, given to us, O God, in Christ Jesus, configured in the reality of the true man, configured in the reality of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, a faith that will move mountains, a faith that will realize an abundance that is of your heart. For we are meant to be creatures of a flowing abundance, O God. Each one of us, creatures of promise. As we partake of Holy Communion today, we ask you to forgive us when we have chosen, O God, to respond to other things than your faith for us. And we have chosen to respond to other things than the testimony of God. Forgive us, Lord, for we are flesh. But we thank you for this forgiveness. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are willing to work inside of us the faith and love of Jesus. You are willing to work inside of us the witness and testimony of Jesus. You are willing to work inside of us, O God, the fullness of Jesus Christ that will enable us to become all that the Father has ordained in His faith for us. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the unveiling of the prophetic that stands in your faith, in the fullness of Jesus Christ over each one of us, Lord. Let it come forth. Bring us forth as a new creation. Bring us forth, O God, that we will walk into the things that you have for us, that we will not look at ourselves, but look at the faith of our God that says that we are a new creation. Come and bless us, Father. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And that faith